Joel, turn to a book of the Old Testament that you maybe don't get to too often, 1 Kings. And you'll find it shortly after Joshua, 1 and 2 Samuel. And it's interesting, this is a book that a lot of Christians don't get into that often, Annette, but you have a vague familiarity with this story. And today, I want to think the Lord would have us look at some of the highs we have in life, but also some of the lows and the fears we have in life, right? And that, because life is full of highs and lows, right? Can we agree on that? But the Lord doesn't want either one to control our lives or to crush us, because even the highs can be dangerous in that. So you guys know me. I like to have a goal when we get together, right? And so I have four for today, right? How do I get more highs? Who here would like more highs in your life? Right. Pretty much everybody. I'll talk to the rest of you later. Right. But the second one is, how do we manage the highs? Because how we manage the highs makes a difference, a big difference in our life, right? How do I avoid the lows, right? I think all of us can agree that we'd like to avoid some of the low spots in life. And how do I manage those lows when they come? Because they will come. Well, here's a foundational truth, right? Faith and fear both derive their power from the extent and solidity of their respective foundations. Look at what that phrase says carefully, right? In that, faith and fear, right, both how much faith we have and how much fear we experience, right, their power is based on how solid our foundation is. Okay, so as believers, what's our foundation? Jesus. Yeah. It's the book that you all have in your lap or your app, right? It's the Word of God. Right, Matthew, here's what Jesus said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came and winds and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on rock. When we're in the low point, if our house is built on rock, the foundation of the Lord, it's going to stand. But he went on to say, but everyone who hears these words of mine, in other words, the words in Scripture, does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. We know what that would be like here in Southwest Florida, right? The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, like last night, and it fell with a great crash. Right? When we're in the low points, if we're not built on the Word of God, that's not our foundation, our house is going to crash. Okay, so please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. Everybody with me? Well, let's start with the highs. Right? In 1 Kings 18, verse 1. And it happened after many days, the word of Jehovah came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will give rain on the face of the earth. Our highs, if we want more of them, they come from knowing the truth and stepping out on the truth and being obedient to God. And we're going to see that with Elijah. If we drop down to verse 17 and 18, here's what it says. And it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, are you this one destroying Israel? And he answered, I have not disturbed Israel, but you and the house of your father, in that you have forsaken the commands of Jehovah and have gone after the Baals. All right, well, who is this Ahab? Okay, well, Ahab was the eighth king of Israel, right, the northern kingdom, right, and he's known for his idolatry, right, especially promoted Baal worship with his wife Jezebel, right, there's a name we're probably all familiar with, and he's known for his conflict that we're going to talk about this morning with Elijah, right, and that he was leading the king Ahab, he was leading Israel away from the Lord. Right. Now, we all know the name Elijah, but what do we know about him? Okay, well, his name means my God is Yahweh. Right. Now, God used him for miracles, and we're going to talk about one here in a moment. Right. He demonstrated God's power both in his despair and his victory. Those are the two things we're going to talk about today. Right. And if you know your New Testament, he appears on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Jesus. Right. Now, right, the Lord told him to go speak to Ahab. Right. Well, clearly, Ahab didn't want to hear what Elijah had to say.
That's cute.
But Elijah said it anyway. He was obedient. Right. Well, what was this argument all about? Well, Ahab and Jezebel were idol worshippers, right? They worshipped Baal and Ashtaroth, right? Now, those are the gods of intellect and sensuality. When I was studying this, I thought to myself, gee, that sounds a little bit like the United States today, right? How many people are all about their intellect, that they're smarter than the next guy, they know more than the next guy, and their intelligence is going to carry them through? And then sensuality. You don't have to look very far to see how our society is going. You know, and you almost have to ask yourself, are we worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth? I guess each one of us will have to answer for ourselves. Right? Now, the Lord told, 3 years earlier, the Lord told Elijah to prophesy that it wouldn't rain until he said so. There's a little side note here. Prophecy isn't just telling the future, right? Sometimes it is that. Prophecy is sharing what the Lord told you to share with someone else. Okay? It's getting a word from the Lord and sharing with someone else. That's prophecy. Sometimes the Lord tells you what the future will be, but not always. Sometimes it's for the present. Okay. At any rate, Elijah did what the Lord told him. He went to Ahab and says, Lord's told me that until I pray that things have changed, you're going to have a drought here in Israel. Right? That's a desert country to begin with. When we were there, how they store water, they get two rainfalls during the year. Right? And storing water is a big deal when you're in the desert. Right? You can imagine. In that. Somebody bring the microphone back to Elijah. Ned, I don't know, where is it?
Brett has
it. Thank you, Brett. So you can imagine 3 years without rain. Now, you know what it's like here when we have a drought, right? Yeah, you know, and we live in a rainforest, for heaven's sake, right? Can you imagine what the desert would be like? There are animals dying, people dying, and that this went on for 3 years. Now the Lord is telling Elijah to go back to Ahab, right? Now, if I'm Ahab, I have to figure that, if I'm Elijah, I have to figure that Ahab is not going to be real happy to see me, right? And that's what the passage said. Why are you this troubler, the one who's destroying Israel? Right? Ahab doesn't blame God. He's blaming Elijah. And speaking of Elijah, Elijah, you have the microphone. What an amazing transition that was.
An important truth that many of the fact that even though Ahab viewed this as intense, he also allowed his wife to not only bring in idol worshippers, but to worship Baal and Ashtaroth, you had to actually sacrifice children and babies on the altar of fire. And worse is that they would even encourage, if there's anyone who opposed them or worshiped the Lord, they'd be put to death. So the interesting thing is, when many times when the Lord's trying to warn us about something, you know, and it seems rough, it's also because he loves us and he's trying to keep us from hurting others around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely believe one of the reasons, if not the major reason, that the Lord hates sin is that it hurts his children. Yeah. Our sins hurt his children. Okay, now let's look at highs for a moment, right? Yeah, because we're going to see Elijah at an amazing high here in just a moment, right? And our highs come from knowing the truth, right? Right? Who's the father of lies? Satan is the father of lies. He doesn't want us to know the truth, right? But the Lord does want us to know truth in that. So the good parts of our life are tied to truth. We need to know truth. Right. Well, let's look at truth. Right. John 7:18, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Right. Now, how do we be the one who seeks the glory of the Lord? How do we do that?
Obedience.
I would think that it means that we're in prayer, that we're listening to the Lord, what he wants for our lives, right? You know, have you ever experienced a friend saying to you, I knew you before you were a believer, and now I know you after, and your life has changed, right? That's being obedient to the Lord, and now your life shows his glory, right? Jesus said in John 8, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What a powerful verse. He went on to say, I am the way and the truth and the life. Right? Jesus said he is truth. Right? You want to know what truth looks like? Well, look at the life of Jesus. Spend time in the Gospels. Spend time in prayer. He went on to say, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Right? When we're being sanctified, we're being made like Jesus. We're being made more holy. That truth makes us more holy. So when the truth brings us to a high place, and that's actually sanctifying us. Right? I absolutely believe that our highs are based on truth. Knowing truth brings us highs. Our lows are based on lies. Let's get back to the passage. Verses 19 through 21. This is the words of Elijah. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. So think of what this is going to look like. Right? Elijah says, bring all the people in. Right? Think of like a football stadium, right? All those people gathered around to witness what's going to take place. Right? Now, Jezebel and Ahab, they accumulated 850 prophets. Right? They evidently really believe in this stuff to collect that many prophets. Right? No, no, these are serving Baal and Asherah, right? And, you know, not only does she think that they're important, she feeds them every day. And I've, you know, been involved with feeding crowds, feeding 950 people every day, you got a serious grocery bill on your hands. But now Elijah, he goes to the people and he says, look, here's the deal. Is it Yahweh, Jehovah God? Or is Baal God? Make up your mind. Quit straddling the fence, right? Yeah. But that's what the people did. The people said nothing. Why did they say nothing? Because they were straddling the fence. They didn't know at this point. Because Ahab was the second king that had gone off. His father had gone in the same direction. So you had two generations now moving in this direction. Passage goes on. Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left. They'd killed off all the others. But Baal has 450 prophets. Now here's where the contest starts. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. So we're going to have two sacrifices, one to Baal, one to Yahweh. I like it. This is the ultimate cage match. Right? You know, think about it. Right? You got the prophets of Baal over here with their sacrifice, and Elijah standing by himself, right, with the sacrifice that he has lined up. Right? The crowd all around, including Ahab. Right? Now, it's fascinating that Elijah told him to choose a bull. Right? Because why is a bull sacrificed? A bull is sacrificed for remission of sins. I think this is terribly symbolic. There's a reason that Elijah wanted to sacrifice a bull, and that he wanted the people to see the Lord's provision. Not only that, but he himself knew that he was a sinner. He needed to be sanctified by the sacrifice when he's doing the Lord's work. Now, that's not to say that the Lord can't use sinners in that, because he's using one right now. I'm standing in front of you in that. But we need to be forgiven. We need to go to the Lord. Right. The verse goes on in verse 27. And it happened at noon that Elijah taunted them and said, call with a loud voice, for he is a god, for he is meditating or pursuing or on a journey. It may be he is asleep and must be awakened. And they called with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their way with swords and with spears until blood gushed out on them. Think about this, right? These 450 prophets, they're praying to God, right? They're praying loudly, right? Loud voice, right? And Elijah is going, hey, guys, you know, maybe he's off meditating. He doesn't have time for you. He's off meditating, you know, or maybe he's pursuing somebody, right? He's off out in the woods somewhere, or maybe he's just taking a nap. Yeah, you got it, just taking a nap. Maybe that's why he's not listening to you, right? You know, he says everything but that maybe Baal is on a potty break. Okay. So what do the prophets of Baal do, right? Well, they cut themselves. They use spears, right? Thinking that their blood is going to be a sacrifice. Right? Faith doesn't require a loud voice. True faith in the Lord, right? Psalm 46 tells us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Right? Exalted, held high, worshipped. First Kings 18:29, and it happened as the noon passed by that they prophesied madly until the offering up of the offering, and no sound came, and no one was answering, and no one was paying attention. They got no answer for their prayers. Right? You know, the truth is when we worship an idol, we don't get answers. Well, I don't know if you remember a while back when I did the idol contest, how you can identify the idols in your life, right? You know, one way to tell is, what do you trust when the chips are down, right? You trust your 401k, your savings. Maybe you trust your intelligence. Maybe you trust your position, your reputation. Maybe you trust your strength, right? Maybe you're just the type A, I'm a can-do kind of guy. If that's your idol, when the tough times come, it's not going to answer you. Don't be deluded. It isn't going to answer you when the time comes. Right, Psalm 106 says, and they served their idols, and they became a snare to them. Our idols don't free us. They're a snare. Think about the Baal prophets. It was a snare to them. They were trapped. When the contest came, they had no choice but to try to beg their God to show up. Okay, drop down to verse 36 and 37. And it happened at the offering of the sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, that by your word I have done all these things. Elijah's prayer, right? Short, to the point. But notice what he does, right? He starts by saying who God is. Anytime we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to start by acknowledging who he is. Right? We're not just praying to the ceiling. We're praying to the creator of the universe. I need to keep that in mind when I'm in prayer. Right? And he asked the Lord to let it be known in Israel. Right? Elijah wanted the people of Israel. Right? He challenged them. Well, who's your God, Baal or Jehovah? He wants them to know that Jehovah is the God of Israel. Right, he also acknowledges that I am your servant. How often do I go to the Lord and tell him, hey, Lord, I see this problem. Here's the solution I want you to do. Come on, I'm not alone here. I'm not the only one that's done this. Well, okay, now who's the master and who's the servant in that prayer? Got it backwards, don't we? Right. Elijah says, I am your servant, and that by your word I have done all these things. He's being obedient to God's word. Jesus said in John 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you desire, you will ask, and it shall happen to you. Think about what that verse means. If you remain in me, right? If I have Christ in me, right? I'm thinking like Christ. I'm living like Christ, right? His words remain in me, and that I'm living by his word, and that, well, what are my desires going to be? They're going to be the desires of Christ, right? The same thing as him, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's not my will, it's his will. Yeah. That's when we get answers to prayer. Right. Well, how did Elijah's prayer get answered? And fire fell from Jehovah and burned up the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and the water in the trench was licked up. Hello? I couldn't help. Now, I've done enough barbecues to know that, you know, for the wood to burn and the meat to burn, that's not that challenging for God. But to burn stone, right? I couldn't. I looked it up. Stone melts between 1,300 and 2,400 degrees. That is some serious, serious fire coming down. Now, picture the people. Picture the people watching. You know, they're sitting, picture them in the stadium. They're watching this. Fire comes down, and all of a sudden, even the stones are gone. If I'm in that crowd, I'm kind of like, oh, my goodness. I've never seen anything like this before. Elijah, go ahead.
There you go. It's interesting because it says stone melts between those temperatures, and we imagine a slow process. This was something that was so abrupt that some people even blinked and it happened. This was something that the Lord wanted to show that not just, you know, whenever the Lord wants to show his power over an idol in our life, over a stumbling block, over anything, he's going to do it in full force. And he's going to do it in a way that shows, be still and know that I am your God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, it's my car this morning, it took a couple minutes before it warmed up to being reasonable. And that's not what happened here. This was instantaneous. So in verse 40, Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let a man of them escape." And they caught them, and Elijah brought them down to the Kishon and killed them there. Now, think about it, right? You're Elijah. Lord, would you bring fire? Whoosh. Be easy for Elijah to start thinking he is special in the sight of God. That's a powerful answer to prayer. Amen. That's a danger. When we have a peak that we begin to take credit for it, God bless you. We need to glorify the Lord in these peaks, not glorify ourselves.
Pastor Gary, say that all the people fell on their faces and said, "Lord, he is God, Lord, he is God."
Mm-hmm.
And then they were killed anyway.
So they did bow down to God, but then they were killed anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look at what Deuteronomy says. Right? The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, that which I have not commanded him to speak, and who speaks in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Elijah was following Deuteronomy. And I think there's a reason for it. When someone dedicates themselves to a false idol, to a false god, they will return back to it. They may waver and come to the Lord for a short period of time, but they'll go back.
Because there's even people that are Satan worshipers that end up turning to God
and mm-hmm.
saved. So that's to me.
Well, you got to remember, this is Old Testament. That's not New Testament. There's a difference when you have the Holy Spirit living within you than with the prophets of Baal. I'm sorry.
God also knew
yes.
their heart.
Yes.
He knew exactly what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Jason.
Sorry. To answer Jessica, it says in that verse ahead of time, I believe that's the people that were watching around, not the actual prophets of Baal.
But even the people that were walking around, thanks, Jason, the people that were watching around, in that their hearts were fickle, right? Let's be honest, right? You know, I hope everyone here knows the Lord as Savior, and that. But aren't there times that we question that? You know, that we're not true to him. Okay, I want to move on here, right? So how do I get more highs? Well, I think I get more highs by knowing the truth, by relying on the Lord, and obeying the Lord. All right, so if you want more highs in your life, I think that's how you get them. Now, how do I manage them? Well, I know the source of those highs. It's not me. It's the Lord. Right? I need to stay humble. Right? We know what happens to the proud. Right? Another is that don't assume that the next time you're going to get the same result. Right? Don't figure that just because the Lord used you once, that if you're not obedient to him the next time out, that you're going to get the same result. You can't just go off and freelance on your own just because the Lord uses you once. Okay, but probably the more important message, part of this message this morning, is what about the lows, right? The fears in life. All right, now, maybe you're someone who thinks that you're not capable of feeling fear. Well, that's a safe selfie I took a while back. Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, back when I had hair. Okay, thank you, dear. Right. Now, think about it, right? Elijah stopped the rain, called down fire from heaven, right? Prayed and it flooded, killed off 450 prophets of Baal, right? You know, have I done something that's more impressive than that? And yet Elijah is going to fall victim to fear in the very next chapter of 1 Kings. Right? And James says, Elijah was a human being even as we are. Right? So if Elijah can feel fear, so can we. And you know the interesting thing about fear. Right? A brave person isn't a person who never feels fear. The brave person who is a person who feels fear and isn't frozen, defeated by it. He moves forward. Right? Do you all remember Jim Fox? He was here a few months ago from Chosen People's Ministries. Right? Well, here's what he said. We each have particular areas where fear hits hardest. See if you're in any of these. Fear of people and their opinions. Worried what people think about you? Fear of financial instability. Every day, do you have to look and see the balance on your IRA? Fear of illness or loss. Fear of losing control. I got to be in control of the situation. Mary Kate will tell you, right? If I'm in a car, I kind of like to be behind the steering wheel. Kind of. Thank you, dear. And fear of rejection or failure. I like to be liked. Right? Well, Jim goes on, these fears don't mean we lack faith. They show where our faith is still growing. Whoa, wait. You mean if I show fear in these areas, it's an opportunity for the Lord to grow my faith? Mm-hmm. Yes. Opportunity for growth? Oh. Recognizing our vulnerable areas help us stay alert in spiritual battle, right? Knowing where our boundaries are weak, teaches us our blind spots, right? Where we maybe aren't seeing things, keeps us from being easily manipulated by fear, encourages us to lean into God, not retreat into self-protection. The enemy prefers that we stay unaware of those weak spots. It's interesting. Jim just wrote a book, right, The Triumph of Faith Over Fear, right? And he blessed me to let me read a pre-release copy of it. And it's not a printed book. It's an online book. And I put out that code, or the QR code, and that if you go to if you scan the QR code, and that it's free. It's a weekly, he sends a weekly email with a chapter, and I can tell you it's an excellent book. But think about fear for a minute. How often, and I should have looked it up and I didn't. I don't know, maybe somebody can Google it while we're talking here. The King James, right, is, what is it, fear not, right, and that. The newer translations have a do not be afraid, right? The Lord says that over and over and over. Well, why do you think that is? Well, it's important, yes. Very much is very much important.
Because we all experience it.
Well, you all experience it, but I think also it freezes us. Right? We start to believe the underlying lie that's underneath the fear, and when we believe that lie, we become self-focused, selfish, thinking just about myself, and we separate ourselves from God. I think this is terribly important for us to understand fear in our lives, how it works. Right now, chapter 19 is round two. Right? Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah did, in other words, killing all his prophets, and all that he killed all the prophets by the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do, and more so, if at this time tomorrow I will not cause your life to be as the life of one of them. Picture, Ahab goes to Jezebel and goes, Jezebel, I got good news and bad news for you. The good news is our grocery bill is going to go way down. The bad news is that all your prophets are dead. Now, Jezebel is a sneaky woman. Right? She could have gone and killed Elijah right then. Instead, she sends word to him. Now, why do you think she might have done that? I think because she hoped it would cause him to flee. Right? If she killed him, he'd be looked at as a martyr. And the Israelites might have gone to his side and said, oh my, she couldn't debate with him. She had to kill him. But if she can chase him away in fear, well, now she's got a victory. Right? And if I'm an Israelite, I look and go, oh, wait a second, let's see. He brought fire down, killed these hornets, but he's afraid of her. I guess maybe I better be afraid of her. Maybe I'm not going to speak out in behalf of Jehovah. I think she had a purpose when she sent him this message, right? You know, now Jezebel could have looked at it and go, you know what? Elijah was right. Jehovah is the true God. We need to change what we're doing. Said she doubles down on stupid. Well, that's what it is. Right? I'm reminded that the devil doesn't take losses gracefully, which is not surprising because he doesn't know grace like we do. Right? We need to be aware after spiritual victories. Right? After the Lord gives us a spiritual victory. And I do this almost every time when I'm in prayer with somebody and the Lord gives them a victory over whatever in their life, I warn them that somewhere in the next 24, 48 hours, the enemy is going to try to tell them that they can't believe what happened, that it was false. The enemy is going to try to steal that victory from them. And that's what's going on here. All right. We need to be aware. After a victory, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. I don't know whether Elijah was proud after this and that, but he certainly was fearful. Verse 3 and 4, and he saw and rose up and went for his life, and he came to Beersheba of Judah, and left his young man there. And he himself went into the wilderness a day's journey and came and sat under a certain broom tree. And he begged for his life that he might die and said, enough now, O Jehovah, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Elijah, after this victory, a message from Jezebel, and he runs. He takes off. Part of the reason I think he did that is because he misunderstood God's mission. He misunderstood that God wasn't just about slaying the prophets of Baal. He wanted to change the hearts of the Israelites. The Lord wanted the Israelites to know who Jehovah was. Right. You know, he says, I am no better than my fathers. I think he means here is my fathers tried to eliminate the Baal and Asherah worship, and they weren't able to do it. And now I haven't been able to do it either. Right. But look at the beginning. And he saw, right? Right? Elijah is walking by sight. He's not walking by faith at this point. Right? And we know from 2 Corinthians, we live by faith, not by sight. Look, he says, enough now. You know, there's times when we're serving the Lord in whatever capacity, and that we meet opposition, and we're worn out, and we go, Lord, enough now. I'm too tired. I can't go any further. you can't use me anymore. I want to just go home. I know heaven's a wonderful place. I just want to go. That's where Elijah is at this point. Right? But what's happened? Elijah's taken his eyes off the Lord. He's focused on himself. Right? Fear has a way of collapsing our circle. And it's all about me. It's all about me. Right? And yet, Prophet Isaiah said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not gaze about. Right? Do not look at the world, for I am your God. I will make you strong. Yea, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. In your fearful times, the Lord is with you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. Don't focus on, what's the common saying? Don't tell the Lord how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your Lord is. You know, it's, you know, is it trite? I don't know, but it's true. And he lay down and slept under a certain broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, get up, eat. And he looked, and behold, at his head was a cake on burning stones and a jar of water, and he ate and drank and turned and lay down. Right? The Lord provides. Microphone to Don. Only give him one. Don't give him two microphones. That could be dangerous.
Fear not. Be not afraid. Appears 100 times in the King James Bible.
100 times. Now, I don't know about, thank you, Don. I don't know about you, but if the Lord says something 100 times, I have to presume that he knows what he's talking about and that he really wants me to get, you know. I think they say, how did it work? I've forgotten now. In Old Testament Hebrew, in that if something was repeated 3 times, it was like, that's like all caps today if you're texting. Right. Okay, well, 3 times is all caps. What is 100 times? A megaphone, okay. Clearly it's something the Lord wants us to get. Right. But what happens? Even though Elijah is going, Lord, just take me home, the Lord provides. He sends an angel. And he knows what Elijah needs. Right now, Elijah needs food, right? And so he provides that, and he provides instruction. Verses 5 and 6, and he lay down and slept under a certain broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, get up, eat. I'm sorry. The Lord bring rest in a time of fear. We are 3-part people, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And our health in any one of those areas will affect the other 2 areas. Think about it. Right? If Elijah says, Lord, I'm tired, just take me home, he's emotionally and spiritually weak. Right? And the Lord knows that that would affect him physically. And so the Lord provides what he needs physically, food and sleep. Right? We need to be aware when we're in a fearful situation that it could sap our strength physically, emotionally, or spiritually. We need to be, when we're in that situation, we need to look at ourselves and say, okay, Lord, where am I being weak right now? What do I need right now in that part of my body? And how is that weakness affecting the other 2 aspects of my body? All right? Am I so focused on myself that, you know, I'm not looking at my daily devotional, or I'm not spending time in prayer? Or is it keeping me away? I'm so concerned that I'm staying awake all night, and so I need sleep. Maybe it's upset my digestion. You need to be aware of these things. Here's what Charles Spurgeon had to say. The spirit needs to be fed, and the body needs feeding also. Do not forget these matters. It may seem to some people that I ought not to mention such small things as food and rest, but these may be the very first elements in really helping a poor, depressed servant of God. If we listen to the Lord will reach out and speak to us. When we're in a fearful situation, we need to be in prayer and not telling God about our problem. We need to be listening for his solution, his instruction. It's interesting, too, if someone had asked Elijah what he needed at that time, I don't think he would have known. When we're in our worst fearful state, we don't even know what we need. But the Lord does. The Lord knows exactly what we need. In verse 7 and 8, it goes, and the angel of Jehovah returned a second time and touched him and said, get up, eat, for the way is too great for you. And he rose up and ate and drank and went to the power of that food 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount of God, Horeb. The Lord doesn't quit. Like Elijah, we may quit on him, but he won't quit on us. Not if our hearts are right. The Lord knows our limitations. He knows where we're strong. He also knows where we're weak. And the Lord's provision are sufficient for the win, to defeat fear. I love verse 9. He came there to the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of Jehovah came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What an important question. The Lord comes to him and goes, what are you doing here without me? Why are you here without me? Jesus said, behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. Romans 8:28, right? One of our favorite verses. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Right? If I'm feeling fearful, I need to make sure that I am like this with the Lord. I need to stay close to him. If I go off and wander off by myself, I'm easy pickings for the devil. And you've probably heard me say on Romans 8:28, I mean, there are situations that we all come across where you look and you go, oh, man, this is a real first-class mess. Lord, I don't know how you're going to bring good out of this. And that, and he does. Have you ever felt in a time of fear that you were abandoned by the Lord? Right. You notice that God doesn't rebuke Elijah. Right? Instead, he cares for him. He encourages him. Right. He came to the cave, and he talked to Elijah. Okay, so how do I avoid the lows? Well, I think let's look at the enemy's tools. Right? How does the devil use... How does he stoke our fears? Right. Well, he wants us to believe a lie. Right? When we believe a lie, we empower the liar. Right. He wants to stay out of sight. He doesn't want us to notice what he's doing. When we recognize the enemy, he's vulnerable. We can beat him. If we don't know he's on the battlefield, we're never going to shoot at him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, most of the devil's lies are actually majority truth. They'll be 70 or 80% true. It's the 20 or 30% lie that makes them dangerous. Okay. Right? He wants, the devil wants us to be tired physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Right? That fatigue, right? You know, what did the great coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi, say? Fatigue makes cowards of us all. Some truth in that. The devil wants us to focus on the problem, not on the Lord. If we focus on the problem, it's going to consume us. If we focus on the Lord will consume the problem. So, how do I manage the lows? Well, I need to share a disclaimer. Right? If you're chronically depressed or have suicidal thoughts, please see a medical professional. Okay? The Lord can use medical professionals too. But how does the Lord want us to handle fear? Right? Couldn't help but put out a prescription for us. In Isaiah, it says that we are to rest in the Lord. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The key in this phrase to me in this verse is you will find your joy in the Lord. You will find your joy in the Lord.
I thought it was the if.
Okay.
You.
It's a conditional promise. It's a conditional promise, Don. You're exactly right. In it. But we are to find our rest in the Lord. And when we rest in the Lord, we will find our joy in Him. Right? That's key when we're dealing with fears. Right? Romans 8 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? I can't think of anything that doesn't fall under one of those. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are as considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. When we're in a fearful situation, we need to remember that we are His. We belong to Him, not the enemy, not to the fear. We belong to Him. Philippians 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Funny thing. When we're in fear, we're focused on ourselves. Right? If I can bring myself to be concerned about somebody else, I will forget about being concerned about me. You know, it happens often. People ask me, well, how are you doing? Right? I think about all the people I know, you know, who are struggling with all kinds of things. By comparison, if I think about them, I realize how good I've got it. You know, are there things that challenge me? Oh, yeah. Things that challenge all of us. I like this quote from John Corson, right? Self-pity is nothing more than rebellion. For if I feel sorry for myself, I'm actually saying, God, although your word says you are love, I don't buy it. Although your word says you are good, I don't believe it. Although your word says you are light, I don't see it. Although the word says you are my father, I don't relate to it. I may get in trouble here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah, Lord says I can. One of the saddest things to me is when I come across people who look to themselves as victims. that their focus is, woe is me. The world's against me. God's against me. Bad things just happen to me. And that, because they can't help but be focused on themselves. Now, one way for them to get over it is start thinking about somebody else. And that may be as simple as praying for somebody else. If you find yourself in a position where you're looking at yourself as a victim, please make sure you get on our prayer chain list or text so that you can pray for other people. Because by praying for other people, serving other people, you will begin to quit thinking about yourself so much. So, what about the lows and the fears? Well, we turn to the Lord. We rest and trust in Him. And we consider others. What's today's message? What's the key? I think the key is that the Lord is truth. The devil is lies. He wants us to have the victories in Him. He wants us to have those mountaintop experiences in that. Not so we can be proud of ourselves, but so we can bring glory to Him. And He warns us 100 times that we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't live in fear. Why? Because it's the lies of the enemy that feeds those fears. And those fears separate us from the Lord. They cause us to turn inward, being concerned about myself, forgetting about the Lord. They separate us from the Lord. And that's what the enemy wants to do. So my hope is that today we would look at what Elijah went through. Right? Look at what the Lord's given us and change our lives. Change the way we're living. Let's be more like our Savior. Shall you stand and pray with me, and we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You that, as Jesus said, He is truth. That You give us truth in a world that's full of misinformation, disinformation, and things that we don't know whether they're true or not. We know Your Word, Your Son, is true. And we can count on it, depend on it, and it's a foundation for how we should and can live. So, Lord, now I ask that You would bless each and every person here, Lord. Bless those who see this message online later on, Lord. Guide our steps. Cause us to have firm foundations in Your Word in our prayer life so that when the enemy tries to lie to us and put fear in our lives, that we can rely on You. And, Lord, we thank You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.